Discerning Hearts presents The Ascent of Mount Carmel by St. John of the Cross, translated by David Lewis and read by Ed Humpel. Book 2, wherein is treated the proximate means of ascending to union with God, which is faith, and wherein therefore is described the second part of this night, which, as we said, belongs to the Spirit, and is contained in the second stanza, which is as follows. Chapter 1, the second stanza.
In darkness and in safety, by the secret ladder disguised, O happy lot, in darkness and concealment, my house being now at rest. Here the soul sings of that happy lot, attained by detachment of spirit from all spiritual imperfections and selfish desires in spiritual things. This was a happiness so much the greater, because of the greatness of the difficulty which the soul had to encounter in tranquilizing the house of the spiritual part, and in effecting an entrance into the interior darkness, which is spiritual detachment from all things, as well sensual as spiritual, leaning only on a living faith. It is of this I speak ordinarily, because I have to do with those who are walking in the way of perfection, and by it ascending upwards unto God. This is here called a secret ladder, because all the steps and divisions of it are secret, hidden from sense and the intellect. Thus the soul is in darkness as to all natural light of sense and intellect, going forth beyond the limits of nature and of reason, that it may ascend by this divine ladder of the faith, which reaches and penetrates into the heights of God. The soul is said to have gone forth in disguise, because its natural condition was divinely changed, ascending upwards by faith. And this disguise was the cause why it was unobserved, unimpeded by the things of time or reason, and by the devil himself. For none of these can hurt the soul while traveling onwards by living faith. This is not all. The soul travels in such secrecy and concealment, and the devil, with his wiles, is so ignorant of its way, that it journeys truly, as it is said here, in darkness and concealment, so far as the evil one is concerned, to whom the light of the faith is more than darkness. Thus the soul, which thus walks, may be said to walk in darkness, hidden from the devil, as I shall more clearly explain hereafter. This is the reason why it is said that the soul went forth in darkness and in safety. For he to whom is granted the happiness of walking in the darkness of the faith, having faith for his guide, walks in the utmost security when he goeth forth beyond all natural imaginations and spiritual reasonings. And so it is added that the soul went forth in the spiritual night, my house being now at rest, that is, the rational and spiritual parts. When the soul attains to the divine union, its natural powers, impulses, and sensible anxieties in the spiritual part are at rest. It is, therefore, not said here that the soul went forth anxiously, as in the first night of sense, because the anxieties of sensible love were necessary for a perfect departure then, so as to journey in the night of sense, and to be detached from all objects of the same. But in order to perfect the tranquility of the house of the Spirit, no more is required than the confirmation of all the powers of the soul, all its pleasures and spiritual desires, in pure faith. This done, the soul is united with the Beloved in a certain union of simplicity, pureness, love, and resemblance. In the first stanza, speaking of the sensual part, the soul went forth in an obscure night, and here, speaking of the spiritual part, in darkness. because the darkness of the spiritual part is greater, as the darkness is greater than that of the night. For, however obscure the night may be, still something is visible, but in this darkness nothing is visible. Thus, in the night of sense, there remains still some light, because the understanding remains, and the reason also, which are not blind. But in this spiritual night, the night of faith, all is darkness, both in the understanding and the sense. The soul says that it went forth in darkness and in safety, which it said not in the first stanza. The reason is that the soul, when it makes the least usage of its own proper ability, travels most securely, because it walks most by faith. I shall explain this matter at great length in the present book, to which I request the benevolent attention of the devout reader, because it will contain things most important to the truly spiritual man. Though they are somewhat obscure, yet one question will open the way to another, so that, as I believe, all will be well understood.
Book 2, Chapter 2, which begins to treat of the second part or cause of this night, which is faith. This is proved by two arguments, how it is darker than the first and then the third.
Faith, which is the mean, is compared to midnight, and thus it may be said that faith is to the soul darker than the first part, and in a way also darker than the third, for the first part, that of the senses, is like the beginning of night, when sensible objects cease to be visible, and is not so far removed from light as midnight is. The third part, that which immediately precedes daybreak, is not so dark as midnight, because the clear light of morning is at hand. This is compared with God. Though it is true, speaking after the manner of men, that God is as dark a night to the soul as faith, yet because God Himself, when the three divisions of this night are over, which are naturally the nights of the soul, illumines it supernaturally with the rays of the divine light in a higher and noble way, experimentally, which is the commencement of the perfect union which ensues when the third night is past. He may be said to be less dark. It is also more obscure than the first part, which relates to the lower, the sensual, nature of man, and consequently the more exterior. The second night, of faith, relates to the higher, to the rational, nature of man, and is therefore more interior and obscure, because it deprives us of the light of reason, or rather, to speak more clearly, makes it blind. Thus the comparison between it and midnight is made good, for that is the most obscure and most perfect portion of the night. I have now to show how this second division, the night of faith, is the night of the spirit, as the first division is the night of sense, and then what those things are which are contrary to it, and how the soul is to be disposed actively for entering into it. For as to the passive way, which is the work of God, I reserve it for another opportunity, for the third book of this treatise.
Book 2, Chapter 3, How Faith is Dark Night to the Soul. This is proved with arguments and quotations and figures from Scripture.
Faith, according to theologians, is a habit of the soul, certain and obscure. The reason why it is an obscure habit is that it makes us believe the truths which God Himself has revealed, truths surpassing the light of reason and beyond the reach of all human understanding. Hence it is that the excessive light of the faith is obscure darkness to the soul, because it subdues that which is great and destroys that which is little, as the light of the sun puts out all other lights, so that they appear not, and subdues our power of vision. As the sun blinds the eyes, and robs them of the vision which it gives, because its own light is out of proportion with, and stronger than, our power of sight, so the light of faith, by reason of its greatness, and the mode in which God communicates it, transcends our understanding, which in itself reaches only to natural knowledge, though gifted with the power of obeying in that which is supernatural, when it is the will of our Lord to bring it to supernatural action. The intellect, therefore, can of itself know nothing but in a natural way, the beginning of which is in the senses, and in no other way. For this end it retains the forms and species of objects, either in themselves or in their resemblances. For as the philosophers say, knowledge results from an object and the faculty. Ab objecto et potentiae paritur notitia. If a man were told of things he knows nothing of, and the like of which he has never seen, no light could be thrown on them, so far as he is concerned, any more than if they had never been spoken of in his presence. For instance, if you were told that there is in a certain island an animal which you have never seen, and no description of it were given you, so that you might compare it with other animals, your knowledge of it, or what it resembles, is not greater than it would have been if you had never been told of it. I will give another illustration which will make the matter still more clear. If you tell a person blind from his birth that one object is white, another yellow, he would never understand what you mean, though you may speak to him for ever, because he has never seen such colors, or anything like them, so as to have any opinion on the subject. The word color only will remain with him, because that reaches him through the ear, but the form and figure thereof escape him, because he has never seen them. Such is faith to the soul, though the resemblance is not exact in all points. Faith tells us of things we have never seen, of things of which we had no previous knowledge, either in themselves or in aught resembling them, and to which we never could have attained but by revelation. The light of natural knowledge cannot inform us of these things, because they are out of proportion with our natural senses. We know them because we have heard of them, believing that which the faith teaches us, subjecting thereto our natural light, and making ourselves blind before it. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith is not knowledge that entereth in by any of the senses, but only the assent of the soul to that which cometh by hearing. Faith, therefore, far transcends the foregoing illustrations. For not only does it not produce evidence or knowledge, but, as I have said, it transcends and surpasses all other knowledge whatever, so that perfect contemplation alone may judge of it. Other sciences are acquired by the light of the understanding, but that of faith is acquired without it, by rejecting it for faith, and it is lost in its own light. Therefore it is said, if you will not believe, you will not understand. It is evident that the faith is a dark night to the soul, and it is thus that it gives it light. The more it darkens the soul, the more does it enlighten it. It is by darkening that it gives light, according to the words of the prophet. If you will not believe, that is, if you do not make yourselves blind, you shall not understand. That is, you shall have no light, the high and supernatural knowledge. The faith was foreshadowed by the cloud which divided the Egyptians from the children of Israel at the entrance of the Red Sea. It was a dark cloud enlightening the night. How wonderful a cloud! Its darkness illumines the night. Faith, then, which is a dark cloud, obscure to the soul, and night also, for in the presence of faith the soul is blind, without its own natural light, enlightens with its own obscurity, and illumines the darkness of the soul, so that the master becomes like the disciple. For man who is in darkness cannot be rightly enlightened except by darkness, as the psalmist saith, Day to day uttereth speech, and night to night showeth knowledge. The day is God in everlasting bliss, where it is perpetual day, who communicates and reveals His Word, the Son, to the blessed angels and the holy souls, who are also now day, so that they may know Him and rejoice in Him. Night, which is the faith in the church militant, where it is still night, showeth knowledge to the church, and consequently to every soul, which is also night, because it does not as yet enjoy the clear beatific vision, and because in the presence of faith its natural light is extinguished. The teaching set before us here, then, is that the faith, which is obscure night, illumines the soul, which is in darkness, according to the words of the psalmist, Night shall be my light in my pleasures. That is, in the pleasures of pure contemplation and of union with God. The night of faith shall guide me. The soul, therefore, must be in darkness that it may have light and be able to journey on the spiritual road.